speeches and letters and state papers without being a little more guarded in your utterance. I could name some radio commentators, TV commentators, members of the Senate and the House in Washington, who could use some of that curiously cautious quality that Lincoln had in utterance so that he misled no one. He wrote to a general in charge, a military governor of the state of Missouri, where there was truly civil war and chaos. He wrote to General Schofield, of course, was something he was very keenly aware of in his own position. If both factions, or neither, shall abuse you, you will probably be about right. Beware of being assailed by one and praised by the other. There was a delegation called on him, a committee of 80 from Missouri and Kansas. Radicals. He hadn't gone far enough, fast enough toward emancipation and a number of measures that they wanted to see enacted. And when they had finished with their speaking and their complaints and their suggestions, Lincoln arose, and one of the delegates from Kansas wrote a very distinct memory that he had of the tears on Lincoln's face as he made a very brief address, saying that of their three demands, two of them he could not comply with, and he gave his reasons, and a third one he could accept, he could meet them. And what he said in the course of that speech was, as the Kansas man remembered it, "I desire to so conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall have at least one friend left, and that friend shall be down deep inside of me." The man had a strange and a quivering conscience. In that message to Congress, where he suggested that there should be purchase of slaves, there should be compensation to the owners of that form of property, He closed with a passage that some of us regard as having all of the values of the Gettysburg speech or the second inaugural. He said early in the speech, "In times like the present, men should utter nothing for which they would not willingly be responsible through time and eternity." And then he closed, "We can succeed only by concert. The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present. The occasion is piled high with difficulty, and we must rise with the occasion. As our case is new, so we must think anew and act anew." He saw those men in the Congress bound by traditions and bound by opinions that he wanted them to discard. So he said, "We must disenthrall ourselves and then we shall save our country. We must disenthrall ourselves. I think in the million words of the Lincoln utterance record, that's about the only time that he used that verb, disenthrall. An old Anglo-Saxon word in law. A thrall being a man, being a bondsman, bound to the land, bought and sold with the land. A serf, a thrall. Anytime he should break his bonds, he would disenthrall himself. Lincoln wanted them to break from the traditions, or he hoped on the part of some of them, their stiff-necked opinions. And he closed. Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. We of this Congress and this administration will be remembered in spite of ourselves. No personal significance or insignificance can spare one or another of us. The fiery trial through which we pass will let us down in honor or dishonor to the latest generation. We shall nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope of Earth. It's been good to meet you here today on soil that's part of what has become known as the Lincoln Country. I named my first book, Abraham Lincoln, The Prairie Years. He had his prairie years, 52 of them, and then went away. And when word came that he would never be back again on the prairies, that lovely gaunt old stepmother of his down in Coles County said, I knowed he'd never come back. The tallest American legend, a kind of a world legend, almost a fable of democracy. What's America? What's the United States over there between the Atlantic and the Pacific in North America? What does she stand for? And those who lack the theory say it's a country where a man can be born in a dirt floor log cabin and slowly, by a circuitous route, reach the executive mansion in Washington and hold in his hands, under certain circumstances, absolute power. That's the United States. So far, it's been very lovely that there never has been a man in the White House who, on occasion, might have used absolute power, but what, in the course of time, very nicely turned it back. Maybe I could close with an old Irish toast. Because your faces have been good to me. The best of luck before you, bad luck behind you, and the grace of God to guard and guide you. little program with a song out of the 1830s, an Illinois song out of the 1830s. Way down up on the Wabash, such land was never known. If Adam had passed over it, the soil he'd surely own. He'd think it was the garden he played in when a boy and straight pronounced it Eden in the state of Illinois. 'Twas here the Queen of Sheba came with Solomon of old, with an ass load of spices, pomegranates, and fine gold. And when she saw this lovely land, her heart was filled with joy. Straightway she said, I'd like to be a queen in Illinois. Then move your family westward, bring all your girls and boys, and cross at Shawnee Ferry to the state of Illinois. I don't know whether Lincoln ever heard that one. I wouldn't know whether he had heard the one out of Kentucky that made quite a name in its later days.